Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the epistle lesson just read. While I was preparing this sermon, the thought came to me that this passage isn't your typical Lenten epistle reading. Typical for me, at any rate. Typical for me is a passage that speaks about Jesus Christ as our Savior. Typical for me is a passage that speaks about Christ dying for our sins, giving his life for us, shedding his blood on the cross for our redemption. Typical for me are passages like Paul's to the Corinthians. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Or, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That would be typical for me. Now, of course, I've always vaguely but definitely realized that, you know, not all of the epistle readings in Lent speak about Christ dying on the cross, Christ redeeming us through his blood, Christ as the atoning sacrifice. There are some, for instance, that speak about God's love, God's mercy, God's grace. There are those that speak about God because of his great love, according to the depths of his mercy, in grace, saving us. And I suppose, if I had to guess, and since I didn't do any research into this, this is just a guess, if I had to guess, then I would say it was because this passage speaks about God's love, God's mercy, God's grace. In fact, it does so not merely clearly, but at least in our circles, paradigmatically. By grace you have been saved. By grace you have been saved is indeed a very important and a very precious truth. But by grace you have been saved does not convey the full weight of Paul's message in these verses. In other words, verses 8 and 9, which are the most familiar to us, do not convey the central thought that Paul has here in these verses. Now, Paul's central thought is not about salvation, but the declaration of salvation, the announcement of salvation itself. As Paul says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and made us sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." So then, why my surprise? Well, you might say it this way. I was expecting here a passage about Christ, if anything, as our Savior. But in these verses, Paul highlights not so much Christ as our Savior, but the one with whom we are saved. Not Christ through whom the blessings of God come, but in whom we also have a share of the heavenly riches. Now, of course, in saying that, in bringing that out, I'm bringing out things that, of course, Paul says time and again. These are themes that are as Pauline as anything. And so my surprise was not over Paul, but the selection. But enough about my surprise, and on to the gospel according to Paul here. Now, I've run on a little ahead by talking about we and about us. Because Paul, of course, was writing to the Ephesians a long time ago, and so when he talks about we, he means the Christians way back then, the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians. Now, the distinction between the Jews and the Gentiles in the church is something that has gone the way of the dinosaurs. They're both extinct. They aren't part of our living experience. They aren't part of our reality as Christians. But back then it mattered. After all, for those who believed in Jesus Christ, he was the fulfillment of God's promises to his people, Israel. Jesus Christ was the fulfillment, was the completion of God's plan of salvation, given in promises repeated over and over again to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, through Moses, Elijah, and the prophets, embodied in the priests, the prophets, and the kings. And what was good news for Israel then, at least at first glance, meant not so good news for everybody else. If Israel had their long-expected king, if Israel had their long-hoped-for salvation, then that couldn't be necessarily good news for everybody else. And so, it makes a lot of sense when Paul is preaching and teaching to the Ephesians that he do what he can to assure them that they too belong. It makes a lot of sense to people who would think that they might be on the outside looking in, that they are part of we, and they are one of us. And so it makes a lot of sense to talk about God predestining them to holiness and blamelessness from before the creation of the world. It makes a lot of sense for Paul to talk about redemption and forgiveness for them through Christ. It makes a lot of sense to say, to make it plain, that they are no longer strangers or aliens, but that they are sons of God and have full citizenship in the kingdom of God. And it makes a lot of sense to assure them that they have been saved just like everybody else. Saved just like everybody else. That's what Paul is talking about. That is what Paul is assuring here. He starts out, God made you alive when you were dead through your trespasses and sins. But then he goes from grace to grace by changing the subject from you to we. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ, raised us up, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But the way I just put it actually tends to skip right by even more grace. For it's not just that the Ephesians have been saved like the Jews, but in a definite way, they've been saved like the King of the Jews, like Jesus Christ himself. When we were dead in our trespasses and sins, Paul says, God made us alive with Christ, raised us up with him, gave us places in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, Paul tells them. And that's really good news. For those who think they might be on the outside, for those who wonder about second-class citizenship, the message, not just that you're treated along with everybody else, but that you have been, in a definite way, treated just like God's own son, is indeed good news. That's the good news for the Gentile Christians in Ephesus. And what about you? Well, the simple answer is, yes, it's good news for you too. It's good news, though, not because you have the same right to salvation that the Ephesians had. Well, as a matter of fact, you do have the same right, which is none whatsoever, because you once were also dead in your trespasses and sins. No, it is indeed by grace that you have been saved. And the good news is this: God has also made you alive. Not just made it possible, but he has indeed made you alive. And he did that for you in your baptism. As Paul explained to the Romans in the 6th chapter, don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Or as Paul taught the Colossians, in Christ also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision of Christ. And you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Christ Jesus was once dead, not through his own trespasses and sins, but through your trespasses and sins. Christ Jesus was once dead through the trespasses and sins of the world, but God made him alive. God raised him up. God exalted him over the world full of sin and death and evil. And through baptism, God has done the same things for you, made you alive, raised you up, given you heavenly status, so that in the end, the world full of sin and death and evil will not claim you. Christ Jesus was once dead in the world's trespasses and sins, but God made him alive. The Ephesians were once dead in their own trespasses and sins, but God made them alive. And in baptism, though you were once dead in trespasses and sins, God has made you alive. So, is this a typical Lenten epistle lesson? I don't know. Frankly, I don't care. Lent, after all, is a human tradition, a good one, but a convention all the same. No, what we deal with here is the good news of salvation, the good news of your salvation. And that's the kind of news that is good in all kinds of seasons and for all kinds of people, including today, including you.